I invite you to stand now for the hearing of this morning's gospel lesson, which comes from the Gospel according to John. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to Philip, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And then he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we thank you for the gift of this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to hear your word and for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask, O Lord, that the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, the words of my mouth would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name, you who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. We continue to be in the season of Epiphany. And Epiphany is that season, you might recall, where we get to see little glimpses of who Jesus truly is. Epiphany means a revelation. And little bits and pieces of our scripture tell us each week a little bit more about Jesus the Christ. And today, our scriptures not only tell us about Jesus, but they also reveal something about ourselves. In order to understand the gospel lesson this morning, you need to hear some of the backstory. You need to hear what happened before the call of Philip and Nathanael. After Jesus was baptized and John proclaimed Jesus as the Lamb of God, there was a day when John was standing with his disciples. And as they were standing there, Jesus walked by, and again he introduced Jesus to those disciples by saying, "Look, here is the Lamb of God. Here is the Lamb of God." Two of John's disciples were so interested in that they followed Jesus. And they said, "Rabbi, where are you staying? Rabbi, where are you staying?" And Jesus said, "Come and see. Come and see." Those disciples of John who wanted to know where Jesus was staying were asking that because wherever a rabbi, wherever a teacher lived is probably where he would be teaching. And these two disciples of John were very excited to know more about this one who John revealed as the Lamb of God. And so the scriptures tell us that they went where Jesus was staying and they sat at his feet. They listened to him into the night. One of those disciples was Andrew. And Andrew quickly called his brother, Simon Peter, to say to Simon, "We have found the Messiah." Those were two disciples who had been followers of John, and now they believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And that's where our gospel lesson this morning picks up. Jesus has called Andrew and Simon Peter to follow him. And now he's moving on to Galilee. And there he meets Philip. He meets Philip, and Philip, too, is interested in who this man Jesus is. And so, as we heard in the scripture this morning, Philip appreciates that Jesus is the one that Moses and the prophets told about. Jesus is revealed to Philip as the prophetic answer to all of their waiting for a Messiah. And Philip is so excited that Jesus has been revealed at this person that he runs to tell his companion Nathanael. Now, did you hear what Nathanael's response to Philip's enthusiasm was? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I heard a little no someplace. Nazareth was one of those backwater towns that really was probably a place of only about 200 or 400 people in the days of Jesus. And it owed its economic well-being to the larger city, the capital of Galilee, Sepphoris. And so there was a rivalry with some of the other small towns with Nazareth. So we're not sure whether Nathanael was from a place that was a rival town to Nazareth, or maybe there was some proverb about the place called Nazareth. Either way, Nathanael is scoffing. He doesn't believe Philip. He can't imagine that truly this man from Nazareth can be the Messiah, the promised one. And Philip's response to him, Philip is not deterred. Philip says to him, "If you don't believe me, come and see. If you don't believe me, come and see." Nathanael is just one of the first of a long line of those would-be disciples who doubt, who need some proof. They need to see for themselves. And Jesus, too, is undeterred. Jesus walks right up to Nathanael and calls him by name. Jesus knows Nathanael before he even meets him, just as God does, as we hear in Psalm 139. Jesus knows Nathanael inside and out, and he says that you are someone who has no deceit in you. And Nathanael is amazed. Nathanael is amazed that Jesus would know him that well. And then Nathanael makes his own confession. He realizes that this man from Nazareth is even more than what Philip has said, even more than what the prophets have promised. This Jesus, this rabbi, this teacher, is truly the Son of God and the King of Israel. The Son of God and the King of Israel. One of those things that this story should remind us is that God even calls those who scoff. God continues to even call those who doubt. God calls everyone to come and see, to come and know him, and to know for ourselves. The Old Testament lesson that Betsy read for us this morning is a very familiar story, probably to many of you. It's the call of the young Samuel. And that story begins by reminding us that the word of the Lord was very rare in that day, and visions were not widespread. It was as if God were silent. And even Eli, the priest, who should have been listening for the voice of God, did not hear God at that time. In fact, the children of Israel were in a very poor place at the time of Samuel's call. There were tribal warfares that tended to break apart the fabric of the people of God. And the children of Israel were doing what was right in their eyes rather than what was right in God's eyes. Even Eli and his two sons did not heed the word of the Lord. So when the young Samuel then hears this voice of God in the middle of the night, it takes three calls. It takes three calls for God to be recognized. It takes Eli three times to hear Samuel before Eli even realizes that perhaps that's God calling the young Samuel. After the third time, Eli says to Samuel, "When you hear the voice again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And so Samuel does that, and Samuel hears a word from the Lord. And although we don't read that part of the scripture this morning, the word that God gives Samuel is not an easy word. It's a hard word that he needs to say to Eli about how Eli has been unrighteous and unfaithful and how Eli will meet his end. But the young Samuel in that moment is called by God. It took a while for him to recognize that that's who was calling. But once he has heard that voice and responded, things change for the people of Israel. Samuel will become the righteous judge. Samuel will be the one who is attentive to the voice of God and hears that voice that will lead the children of Israel. We learn several things about God and about ourselves from these scriptures this morning. First is that God is persistent. God is persistent. God does not give up. We are bombarded by hundreds of messages every day, and I'm sure it's hard for God to get through to us. But God doesn't give up. Just as he called Samuel three times, God still has a word for us. I doubt that God was silent all those years in Israel. I'm imagining instead that the people of Israel had their ears stopped to the word of God. They were resigned to how things were, and they missed the voice of God. Even the priest missed what it is that God would tell them. But God is persistent. Through the ages, God has continued to call and continued to speak. And God doesn't wait for the people that he calls to have it all together. He doesn't call people who have a firm faith foundation and have everything in place before God speaks to them. The young Samuel did not yet know the Lord when the Lord called. Nathanael didn't believe that anyone from Nazareth could be the Messiah. Yet God and Christ called both of them to hear the word of God. And God doesn't discriminate. God calls one and all, young and old, those who believe, those who don't. God's voice is out there for any one of us with ears to hear. But for us to hear God's voice, we need to expect that God will speak. We need to be open to the possibility that God has a word for us. And we need to be open to what it is that God would say to us. We need to believe that God still calls, that God still speaks, that God still comes. Yesterday, Marty McCabe and I attended an all-day training event put on by the conference, and it was held in Williamsport. And it was led by the conference leadership, and much of what they talked about had to do with growth and growth in our congregations. And one of the workshops that I attended was about how what first-time and second-time guests really want when they come to a church. And the woman leading this retreat actually did it from, or this workshop, presented this from a negative aspect, things that people don't want to find when they come to your church. And one is that they don't want to find conflict and drama. They have enough of that in their life already. They don't want to come to be isolated and to feel alone. They want to come and find authentic community. She had these 10 things, and I can't remember all of them, but the last one was that when people come to a congregation, they want to come and see Jesus. They want to come and see Jesus. They don't want to come and actually see the man Jesus, but they want to see Jesus alive in the congregation. They want to see people that are Christ-like. They want to meet people who follow Christ. They want to know people authentically believe in Christ and all that he taught. Which means people that come to a congregation to worship, who want to be a part of your faith community, want to know that we are people that are accepting and loving, that we are peacemakers, that we long for healing. They want to see Jesus when they come to be here with us. They want to come and see Christ. They don't want another social event. They don't want to work on another committee. They don't want another opportunity to eat, although we do that very well. But what they do want is they want to come and they want to experience genuine worship. They want to come to see authentic community. And they want to come and see people striving to be more Christ-like in their living. They want to come and meet Christ. Andrew sought out his brother Simon Peter to share the good news that they had found the Messiah. Philip brought that same good news to Nathanael. And Eli finally helped Samuel to hear the word of the Lord. Sometimes it truly takes someone else to invite us to hear, to help us to listen, to encourage us to trust God's voice and God's word. Maybe God's word to you and to me today is to do something so that others too might come and see. Perhaps God wants you to invite someone else to join you in worship, so that they too can come and meet Christ. Perhaps God is nudging you a little bit to be more involved, to sign up to read scripture or be a greeter or a doorkeeper on a Sunday morning. Perhaps God is calling you to be a part of the choir or the bell choir or a small group or a Sunday school class or even to be a teacher or a facilitator. Perhaps God's word to you today is asking you to be more forgiving, forgiving of others or forgiving of yourself. Perhaps God simply wants to remind you that you are his beloved child and that he knows you inside out, like Psalm 139 reminds us. And even though God knows your innermost thoughts, God loves us still. Perhaps God wants nothing more than for you to delight in his presence. It may seem at times in the world today like the word of the Lord is rare, but God still speaks if we would only have ears to hear. It may seem like there is never any good news in the world, but there is plenty of good news if we would have hearts to perceive it. It may seem like nothing good can come out of a small community in eastern Lycoming County, but there is much to celebrate here that is of God if we would only be open to all the possibilities. We just need to continue to invite others to come and see. Come and see that if they were here, they would find a community that celebrates life in Christ. If they would come and see, they would find individuals striving to grow deeper in their faith. If they would come and see, they would find an authentic community risking to reach wider in their witness and their mission. But they won't ever know it. They won't ever see it if we aren't the ones to invite them to come and see. Amen.